So whenever you're ready.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, we can go ahead. So yeah, this leads actually quite well on from the last question, because we did study embodied carbon and operational carbon, and yeah, we were doing this at our local computing cluster here at the University of Manchester. For the bigger picture, like you're all probably aware of the worldwide computing grid, the WLCG, which operates 1.4 million CPU cores worldwide. And this is at about 100 sites, and the University of Manchester is one of them. And this is why we study it here as a small pilot study that can later then be increased to the bigger picture. And so why do we want to do this? We don't want to propose immediate changes, because these are all very preliminary studies, but we have to get familiar with these kind of studies, which the field isn't that familiar with yet, especially with life cycle assessments and to measure the embodied carbon. And this is because a lot of the funding bodies are putting more and more effort into this, and more prioritizing sustainability. And also because the European strategy, as well as HECAP, also prioritizes more and more. So we really have to gain some expertise on this. I'll start with the description of the project, which is called Tackling the Energetic Cost of Computing at the University of Manchester. This was funded by a small seed funding grant here at the University of Manchester as part of the Sustainable Futures group of projects. And it's a one-year project that has been ongoing since August of last year. And we try to do two things here. We estimate the energy consumption of running code that we use in the HEP community on our local clusters, and we do a life cycle assessment of the hardware and the software together. And this is an interdisciplinary project between the engineering department, where the PI is Ben Parks, also here at the University of Manchester, and here the particle physics department, where I'm the co-PI. And Lewis will talk about the software part of this a bit later, and he's an MPhil student working on this project. The hardware that we are studying is the NOETA cluster. So the WLCG is separated into these tiers from 0 to 3. 0 is the local one at CERN. Tier 3 are the smallest kind of local clusters at the individual institutes, like universities. And that's why we start with the Tier 3 here at the University of Manchester. It has 8 nodes with 96 processors each, which can be used for batch jobs, and 20 nodes with 16 processors each, which can be both used interactively and as batch jobs. And we're studying a 96 processor node here. It also has GPUs, but this is not part of the project for now. The University of Manchester also has a Tier 2 cluster, so the like larger kind of cluster part of the grid, which is actually one of the largest in the UK. And interesting for this project, even though we didn't study this cluster in particular, is that the hardware from this Tier 2 cluster is being passed down to the NOETA Tier 3 cluster whenever the Tier 2 cluster gets upgrades. So we're basically always one generation behind the cutting edge on the Tier 2. The software that we are studying is Herwig. Why? Because this is one of the most widely used Monte Carlo generators. And if you look at
You can do it with this.
right and plot there, from the compute budget of Atlas, Monte Carlo generation is a very large part of this. It's a slice at the top there.
Yes.
We're studying the Trillian process with this, generating it. And this has two stages: the integration process, which we run single-threaded. It can also be run multi-threaded, but it's interesting to compare the two different compute paradigms here. And the event generation, which is run multi-threaded. And with this, I'll give over to Luis.
So, hi there. Good morning, everyone. As Tobias mentioned, my name is Luis Miguel, and I've been working in Herwig here at the University of Manchester. So, let's get straight into it. So, there are many ways of profiling software, the energy of software. For our students, the most important ones were REPL, Code Carbon, and Prometheus. Well, REPL, as the previous presentation told us, is an inter-processor feature that allows for almost real-time monitoring of the CPU and RAM energy consumption. Code Carbon just provides a simple interface to access REPL via a Python library. Prometheus interfaces with power supplies, so with power plugs, sorry, that allows for measurements of power supplies in the for the nodes in the Novatron cluster, for example. But there are also another tools like Panda using Atlas, HipScore in the near future probably, and Green Algorithms, that is an online calculator that can be integrated with Slurm systems as well. So the Noether cluster consists of an array of nodes. The power distribution unit, or PDU, feeds these nodes via the PSU, and the PSU then distributes the energy to each component in a working node. So what we are actually measuring with Prometheus is the PSU of each individual node. So we are indirectly measuring all the energy that comes into the node. With Code Carbon and Drupal, we are only measuring the CPU energy directly. So keeping that in mind when we look at the results. Talking about results, so we benchmarked the drill jump process. In this case, in your screen, you're seeing two protons going to two electrons. And we use an Intel Xeon Gold 5220. That is the 96-threaded CPU here at the Tier 3 Noether cluster. And as Tobias mentioned, we differentiate between two steps, integration and generation. So we found that a relationship between the number of events generated and the energy consumed was, to very good approximation, linear. And we also found that the power consumption was pretty much constant during the whole simulation, at least up to 10 to the power of 8 events. But we do expect some thermal effects to kick in at some point. But well, now we have this energy consumption, but what do we actually do with it? How do we convert it to CO2 emissions? Well, that is a simple and at the same time complex question. So we use a scaling factor. That this scaling factor called carbon efficiency is really location dependent. So if you do an experiment, for example, in the UK here, you will get totally different results for your CO2 emissions if you do it, for example, in the US or Germany or France. In France, it's going to be much less impactful, for example. So this is something to obviously keep in mind, especially when working with a worldwide collaboration like CERN. So yeah, so now we have the CO2 emissions, we can do something with it. We can do extrapolations and see what will happen. I don't know, for example, FCC scales, LAC scales for, I don't know, 10 to the power of 16 events, for example. And we found that, keep in mind that these are order of magnitude estimations, around a million tons of CO2 would be emitted in FCC conditions for center mass energy of 100 TeVs. This is based on a almost linear model of the two protons going to two electrons. But for example, some of the other processes will have slightly different relationships. But this is something to keep in mind, especially for thermal effects, because those are that's how it looks into the data. And a fun fact that we found is we did the same exact procedure in a laptop, and we found that, surprisingly, the laptop seems to be a little bit more efficient in terms of event generated per energy consumed, at least up to 10 to the power of 5 events. And also, it seems to be faster, as seen in the right, up to 10 to the power of 4 events. But we have to keep in mind that these are really not many events, and 10 to the power of 4 events are a really long number for any particle physics application, so keep that in mind. Our little caveat is that we only produce data for 10 to the power of 5 events in the laptop. So keep in mind that beyond that point, the model could fail and will fail because of thermal effects. So as always, we need more data, guys.
Okay, thanks. And now I'll talk about the life cycle assessment, which is the second part of this project. This was mostly performed by by our colleagues from the engineering department, and especially by Nico, who is a postdoc there. So what is a life cycle assessment? It considers both the embodied carbon and the production of the hardware, as well as running the software over an extended amount of time. We studied three different test cases here at the university, which are desktops with screen, laptops, and especially the HPC, in this case, or Noether Tier 3. This all follows the ESO standard, and if you want to do something like this, please consider doing this, because then it can be very well compared to other lifecycle assessments. The software is the commonly used software for this, which is called CIMA Pro, and the EcoInvent database. As Louis said, the energy consumption of Fairweight is scales linear with the number of events, so we can just use the power consumption as one input. The other input is then the runtime, and then we also need all the different hardware components and what kind of material they are built from. And this is actually quite a challenging part, because even the vendors don't necessarily know this information. Even if you buy two products with the same product ID, you don't necessarily get always the same hardware. What you get is just hardware that can perform up to certain specifications, but it's not clear that it was produced in the same way. So this is very complicated. Another thing you have to have in mind with lifecycle assessment is you have to define your system boundaries very well. So, for example, in our case, we do not consider the end of life, so the either recycling or going to waste of the components, because here at the University of Manchester, the end of life is managed by a contractor, which resells components if they're still usable. And according to the university, this saved about 450 tons of CO2 equivalents during the latest teaching year. Here are some very preliminary results. You should really look at these more with the lens of this is what we can study rather than these are exact values. So please take it with a grain of salt. But one interesting thing that was found out is that the global warming impact, mostly due to CO2 emission, is dominated by the electricity consumption by the HPC, so during the runtime, whereas for desktop and laptop computers, it's usually dominated by the production, so by the embodied carbon. And another thing that we studied is different replacement policies. So if you replace your hardware every 5, 7, or 9 years, in this case, the HPC hardware for the Noether cluster, and if you replace it more often in this particular scenario, so 5 years, your consumptions are higher than if you replace it every 9 years. And to bring this into a bit of a bigger picture, we're part of a broader effort in HEP, as you now all know from this workshop, hopefully. And the WLCG, so the computing grid, already organized a workshop on this, and there was a dedicated session also in the latest WLCG workshop. So please have a look at that if you want to. And then there will also be a WLCG sustainability forum be set up. So if you want to contribute to this effort, please consider joining this. And just quickly, our conclusion. So one lesson that we learned is that sustainability analysis and especially life cycle assessment can be really hard because you not necessarily have all the information that you need to do this. And so you have to do some estimates. You can't really get around this. It's very important to do this because funding agencies put more and more prioritize this more and more. So we have to be ready for this. And even the profiling of power consumption can be quite complex because you really have to consider what you're actually measuring. Is it only CPU? Is it the whole chassis of your server? And in terms of outcomes of this project, so we increased the awareness already here at the University of Manchester, for example, with some guest presentations at the C++ course for sustainable software. And longer term, we plan to inform the procurement strategies here at the University of Manchester. And we're already in contact with the IT services and research IT who are actually very interested in this kind of effort. And even longer term, we really try to integrate this into the broader context of the WLCG and hope to work together with maybe some of you on this in the future. So many thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for the talk, Louis and Rilis. It was nice to see a tag team approach. We already have a hand raised by Dwayne, so please go ahead.
Hi, that was a very nice talk. Just a very quick question, specifically on a point you raised in this last slide. So you said that you were looking to try to apply pressure on your procurement process. In what ways do you see you can change the procurement process for the better?
So one thing, as I said, these are very preliminary studies, but one thing that one can really change here is the replacement policies. So it really matters if you replace your hardware every 5, 7, or 9 years. This is what we found here is 5 years has a larger impact, but it really depends on what kind of hardware. It can be the other way around, where if you buy more efficient hardware, it can actually be more beneficial to change your hardware more often so that you're always on the cutting edge of efficiency. So things like that can really be used as an input for that.
Thank you.
Perfect. And that brings us to the exact time slot of the session. I would suggest you guys please connect to the Mattermost where we can continue the discussions on this very exciting topic. And then I hand over to Jan, whose connection hopefully is fine for the continued.
Yes.